Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, as you know, Ireland has taken quite a strong stance on the ongoing war in Gaza, which has prompted a strong pushback from Israeli politicians and commentators. So what's it like for Irish people living in there, and do they support the stance being taken here? John Costello has lived in Tel Aviv since 2008 and has spent some time garnering views from other Irish people living in Israel. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Could you tell us a bit about the Irish community in and around Tel Aviv? How large is it, and are there particular industries most of them tend to work in?
Yeah, so Sean, you have like Jewish people who've immigrated from Ireland, who live in Tel Aviv. And I think that's around 1,500, 2,000 of a community. You have blow-ins like myself who came over or fell in love with an Israeli either here or abroad and chose to live here. But Israel is a high-tech center, very much like Ireland. So it has a lot of the same high-tech companies here, like Intel and Microsoft, Google, etc. So you have a lot of transients coming in and out from Ireland who would do work here for 6 months. Now, they could be just construction people who have experience or work for the Intel in Dublin or in Kildare, and then come over here to do a project. And then you have high-tech workers. So some people I know have been living here for 3 or 4 years, and then one of the guys just went back to Dublin on Saturday, and he was here for 2 years. So you see Irish people around the town. You meet them in the Irish bar, Molly Bloom's here as well. So there is a presence here, but it is very small.
Yeah. Now it's pointing out the obvious that at the moment Israeli society is highly traumatised, given what's happened and what is continuing to go on. And the Irish people you've spoken to who live in Tel Aviv, I assume they're feeling that trauma as well, are they?
Yeah, well, John, or Sean, just let me put it in context. When I was asked to write this article, I'm not a journalist anymore. I work in high tech and content, but I really jumped at the opportunity because Irish people here are just, their jaws hit the floor when they're seeing the coverage at home in Ireland. And like, it's not whether they agree or disagree with it, but it's just that it's very simplistic, it's very one-sided, Israel bad, Palestinians good. And when I started reaching out to people to interview, the editor in the Irish Independent wanted two people. I was shocked that people I know for quite some time in Ireland, and I wasn't contacting Jewish Israelis, I wanted Irish Israelis, people like me, and 80% of the people I contacted would not want to go on the record because they're afraid of the backlash they get online. Some of them have businesses, but they're also afraid of when they went back to Ireland, if they were from a small town or a community, you know, the stick they would get. So it's just very sad that people are afraid to speak up. And I think it's the same in Ireland. You know, I talked to the editor today. The article I wrote is in the top 10 most viewed articles on the website. And I think Irish people are being attracted because it's a viewpoint that they don't get in Ireland. In Ireland, when you talk about the war, you know, the Israeli representative of the person who's pro-Israel is immediately trying, what about the dead babies? You know, and then that's the depth of the intellectual kind of investigation into the thing. And look, it's war. Horrible things happen in war. Young women, young men, old men, grandmothers die. We have the hostages inside. War is absolutely not pretty, but the lack of a debate in Ireland about where all that aid came that was sent to Gaza over the years, which is in billions, where was that spent? How did they manage to build a terror network under the state of Gaza that's bigger than the London Underground? Where did they get all the missiles? Like when we were in the bomb shelter and missiles were landing around an apartment around the corner, got a direct hit. The Iron Dome was taking out missiles overhead. You know, we have a dark sense of humor as well in Israel. And people were saying, like, the only things they aren't running out of in Gaza is missiles. And that's, like, sad, but actually true.
Yeah. And I suppose feelings would be very heightened then within Israel. And perhaps maybe there's a view, perhaps among Irish in Israel, that the views here are a bit more extreme than they actually are.
Yeah, look, I tried to explain. We were at the Passover celebration, which is the kind of the equivalent of Easter, not in terms of Jesus or anything, but the equivalent kind of celebration. And my wife's family are really grilling me, like uncles, aunts, and nephews and nieces, like, about why did the Irish hate Israel so much? And I try to explain to people, I think the majority of people in Ireland just don't know. They have sympathies on both sides. Obviously, when you're seeing images from Gaza of dead people and the destruction there, it's just wrenching to anyone watching it, both in Israel and in Ireland. But the fact is, I think there's a small minority, and it's a small politicized minority who go out and they have protests and they chant things like from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. You know, that is a highly anti-Semitic statement because it's calling for the destruction of Israel. And also the Arabic version of that goes a bit further. It says from the water to the sea, Palestine will be Arab. And so I think most Irish people won't know that. People who are chanting it don't know that because they're taking their political views from TikTok. And I think the most Irish people just don't have a clue what's going on, but they're not getting a narrative. They're not getting a full picture of what's going on. And most of the information they're getting from Irish media and from Irish sources is actually coming from Hamas. Now, Hamas is a terror organization, and not just that, it's a jihadist organization. Out of the 140 odd hostages that are still left, or sorry, of the 240 hostages that were kidnapped, and that included a 9-month-old baby and her brother, who is 4 years old. Now, who does that, okay? But out of the 240 hostages that were taken, 138 had foreign passports, and it included Christians, it included Muslims, and it included Hindu people. So this is a jihadist organization. This is Hamas. So when you have Irish people chanting from the river to the sea and pro-Hamas slogans on the streets of Dublin, that is deeply concerning. I know Jewish people living in Ireland who are really terrified. And from talking from Irish people here, they wouldn't want to go on record because they're afraid of what would happen to them when they went home. So I think Irish people need to look at both sides. They can then decide for themselves, but open themselves up to both sides of the argument. Because at the moment, it's a sound of one hand clapping, which is Palestine is very good and Palestinians are very good. And Israel is an evil, you know, kind of, you know, all the bad things they say about Israel, which just is not true.
And how do you know that Irish people, and we're talking about the most Irish people, don't know about the complexity of the situation in Israel and the West Bank and Gaza? Because you said the media is getting most of its information from Hamas. Does that include the Irish Independent that you just wrote an article for?
Yeah, look, I'm critical of all Irish media. When you look at the figures of people killed, I'll give you one example, Sean. After October the 7th, and I hope that everyone knows how horrific that was and how barbaric it was. By the time Israel confirmed the dead, it took about 3 months, because when people are killed, when bombs are exploded, RPGs go off, you can imagine the human remains that are there. It's not easy to count 1, 2, 3, because use your imagination. So how come when something happens in Gaza, like within 30 minutes or an hour, Hamas gives an exact figure of the people dead? You know, so those figures should be treated with severe health warnings. The situation, like, Irish people won't believe that there's a tunnel network there. They won't believe anything that Israel says, even though Israel is a democratic society. We have to, you know.
How do you know Irish people don't believe that? We've all seen pictures of that on the TV. It's been well known for years that Hamas is a tunnel network. Well, where are you getting that from?
I listen to RTE. I listen to other radio shows and other media, and I've heard questions being put when I listen to the Israeli ambassador in Ireland and the way she's treated, and question marks about, you know, facts and figures that she gives. So I'm like, Sean, I imagine that the Irish media reflect Irish society in some way. And also I have family and friends there as well. I follow social media. So while there are people who investigate, who look at both sides, the main view that comes out of Ireland, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, it's very anti-Israel and very pro one side. And if the narrative doesn't fit the anti-Israeli thing, it gets very little coverage. We've been shelled from Lebanon every day since October. We have family that are out of their house. There's like displaced people within Israel from the south and also in the north because they can't go back to their houses. You don't hear that in Ireland. And of course, you know, the Palestinians deserve, sympathy, but there has to be questions asked about their leadership. What is their political agenda? What does a two-state solution mean? Who wants a two-state solution amongst the Palestinians? You know, five times in 1947, 1993, 2000, 2001, and 2008, they were offered a state. And I think in 2008, it was 95% of the land they asked for, and they were declined every time. So there has to be some pressure put on the Palestinians and definitely on Hamas. If they let go of the hostages, the war would be over tomorrow.
Yeah. Let me read out one. I can read you out loads of comments actually here. They're popping up in front of me. But let me read you out one. Sean, I agree with this man in part. What happened to the Israeli people in October was horrific. But why can't the people of Israel understand that our horror is based on the horrific attacks on women, children and aid camps? We Irish condemn Hamas, support Israel as a state, think Jewish people should be treated with respect, as should the Palestinian people. Another person says, ask him, does he know the stats in relation to anti-Semitic attacks in Ireland? As a Jewish person, I'm offended. There has been a 0% increase in attacks here. Because they could be in effect too, John, in the sense that someone says something a bit nutbaggy in the Irish media, and that's reported in the Israeli media, but that's taken to infer that's representative of everyone.
Yeah, so just first a fact check. I didn't say anyone was attacked on the streets. I was talking about the feeling of people that they don't feel comfortable, Jews in Ireland. I'm sure every Jew doesn't feel like that, but I've personally spoken with Jewish people who feel intimidated, who feel afraid. And I know I'm not saying that anyone has been attacked so far, thank God, but, you know, that's the situation. One thing that we have to understand as well, Sean, the Israeli army does not target civilians. We're a democratic state. I have friends, family, colleagues, co-workers, clients that are part of the army. The army is an army of the people. So we have sons, daughters, fathers, brothers, sisters dying in there as well. So it's by no means we go in and target civilians. But when you're dealing with a terrorist organization that doesn't have a regular uniform, embeds itself amongst civilians, takes hostages, attacks soldiers. Like when those aid trucks go into Gaza, why do they get stopped on the border? Because they have to be checked for items that Hamas would use, you know, to attack Israel, to build weaponry. Mm-hmm. Also, a lot of aid workers or truck drivers in Egypt didn't want to go into Gaza in trucks because they were being taken over by Hamas. There was this footage of Hamas soldiers on top of aid trucks with weapons, keeping people back and stealing the aid. Also, it's very important to know that, you know, when aid workers sadly got targeted, and there's been Israeli soldiers, and there was just a few the other day that got hit by friendly fire. Unfortunately, friendly fire is a fact of war. Aid workers got killed by the American army in Mosul, if I'm correct. And there's friendly fire incidents in every war because war is, I won't use a curse word, but horrible. But when Israel does it, Israel is suddenly held to a different standard and accused of genocide, which is just, it's just jokeable. And just one thing as well, Sean, if we go by Hamas's figures, which is a big question mark, they're saying around 31,000 dead, okay? They do not include terrorists in those figures, okay? Now, the IDF, the Israeli army, says 13,000 terrorists have been eliminated. So we believe Hamas's figures. We can say that 18,000 civilians have been killed. And that's a ratio of 1.5 to for every combatant killed, there's 1.5 civilians. Now, I ask people, listen to this, go research that figure, because those figures can be up to one combatant, up to nine civilians in warfare. In Mosul, which in 2017, there was 4,000 ISIS fighters killed by the US Army, 10,000 civilians. You know, so the actual operation is, and it's horrible to see, and it's terrible to look at your screens, but the thought that Israel is just going in and exacting revenge is so far from the truth. It's that's why people here are so annoyed, because it's an army of citizens and people fighting for the survival, surrounded by countries that want to wipe us off the map. And the majority of Palestinians in Gaza and the West Bank support that view as well. So we need a solution here. We need a political solution. We need a solution led by Arabs in the area. And Israel has very good relationships, and the relationships are getting better with neighboring Arab countries. And they need to build a political future and a state that's, you know, that can work for the Palestinians. But the Irish government just saying, oh, we back a state, like, that's not, what is that? You know, we need to put a plan in place that will be a peaceful state that it believes in coexistence with Jews and that it believes in the survival of the Israeli state. And Irish people need to ask themselves that. And look, I'm critical of the Israeli government. I'm sure you know, Sean, there's been political protests and there's now against the government. I'm there every week. I'm there with the families of the hostages every week. You know, people here are living a hell and it's terrible. But the rhetoric coming out from Ireland is just so unhelpful. And Ireland is best place to help a peace process here in this part of the world. But the way it's going around it, the things the government says, its position is just, it's a bit of a joke over here. And I think internationally it's a joke as well. And that's sad because we have a lot, like the experience of Bertie Ahern and people like that in terms of negotiations and peace negotiations. You just don't get that. And Ireland can offer that, but it's just not seen as a credible partner for peace here because of sided rhetoric that spouts out of Ireland the whole time.
Are you angry or do you feel ashamed to be Irish, John?
Well, what was my opening line in the article? I did consider burning my Irish passport. Now, you know, I got angry that passed in a few seconds. Obviously, I'm a very proud Irish person, but I'm also a very proud Israeli citizen. And yes, I get angry. It goes here, Sean, angry 1 minute, deeply upset the other minute, distraught the other minute. It's very emotional. It's difficult. People just want a ceasefire, but they don't want a ceasefire at all costs. We have people inside there that are still being held, which includes that poor, you know, babies, a nine-month-old baby and a four-year-old. And you know, there's people in their 80s, there's other children there. It's just horrific. And we want to stop to this. But, you know, Ireland should be helping and supporting it rather than just coming out with anti-Israeli rhetoric and thinking that it's a one-sided issue over here.
Yeah. What's it like if you're a Palestinian living in Tel Aviv at the moment?
Well, look, as I said in the article, Palestinians in Israel have full citizenship. They can vote. They have the same rights as a Jewish person. They have the same rights as I do as an atheist living here. But it's for sure it's very difficult, you know. But there are a lot of Palestinians. We call them Arab Israelis. But there's a lot of them that report news. There's a lot of that have social media. And there's a lot of them that are against Hamas and trying to get the world to see, you know, they post on social media, you know, so, but I'm sure like we have friends that are Arab Israeli and it's incredibly difficult because they work alongside Jews. They've lived amongst Jews. They work for Jewish companies here and it's, you know, it's, they're torn. But one thing you see, Sean, you don't walk down Tel Aviv or in Jaffa, which is a predominantly Arab town, just down the street or other parts. You don't see Arabs out protesting and supporting Hamas here. And you don't see them saying, we want to be part of a Palestinian state because they have better rights in Israel than anywhere else. There's Palestinians living in Lebanon, a significant population. There's a significant population of Arabs also living in Jordan. They don't have equal rights. They don't have the right to vote. They're seen as a second-class citizens. And where in Israel, you know, if you want to be part of Israeli culture and society as an Arab, you know, you're able to and be as successful as you want to be.
John, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for speaking with us today. That was John Costello there, an Irishman living in Tel Aviv. As you could imagine, an awful lot of response to that. Ed says the Israelis won't forget the way Ireland has been dumping on them in their time of crisis, as they would see it. Will says Netanyahu used From the River to the Sea to describe his aim for an expanded Israel. No one should be holding hostages, neither Hamas nor Israel. Israel currently have over 5,000 Palestinians, including children in captivity without trial. Also, it's worth saying, but I didn't want to get into, I wanted to kind of get what John felt living over there and what his point of view was. But, you know, he did make the point about EU funds going into Gaza. Funds from Qatar have been going into Gaza for quite some years. And Netanyahu knew all about that, in fact, facilitated that. And it was actually part of a strategy by him to actually stop a two-state solution. Sweet Jesus, could your man be any more patronising there? Irish people get their political views from TikTok. We're clearly incapable of reading up on things and making up our minds based on facts from independent sources. There are Jewish people in Ireland on those protests, by the way. It's not anti-Israel, it's anti-butchering women and kids, indiscriminate blowing up of a whole country. Someone else says that John is unfortunately misled by years of Israeli propaganda. Now, in fairness to John, That view he espoused there, that's pretty like if, I was going to say if you throw a rock in Tel Aviv, but that's probably not a bad idea at the moment. But your average person living in Tel Aviv, that's kind of the views that they would have. As far as they're concerned, they're at war and it's an existential threat that they're facing. Danny says, thank God someone is speaking with some balance. I've been used as a public whipping boy for trying to give some balance and context to this war to the point of not going out socially, says Danny, who's in Kerry. Someone else says, your guest is spot on. The Irish narrative on Gaza is far too one-sided and it's simply disgraceful. Now, people on the Irish far left, like Richard Boyd Barrett, have repeatedly refused to condemn the Hamas attack on October the 7th. Someone else says, the Irish people believe there is a genocide happening. We are anti-genocide and anti-apartheid. Israel is completely protected by the US and the dome. Israelis are not the victims here. Get this genocide apologist off the air. And someone else says, Rose says, well done on that intelligent, informed and informing interview with that Irish man living in Israel. Regarding the Israeli-Hamas conflict, as he said, the Irish attitude, including that of our politicians, has been utterly simplistic and completely underinformed. Someone else says, ask them about Palestinians not being allowed to walk down the streets in Israel and the Israeli army do target civilians. Someone else says, Jews are entitled to be in Israel, Middle East, in the same way that unionists are entitled to be in Northern Ireland. That has been the starting premise in all discussions in Palestine, Israel. Well, now, in fairness, there are, I mean, OK, there are all sorts of Israeli citizens who would trace their ancestors back to other countries. But there are Israelis as well, whose, you know, forebears have been there the whole time kind of thing. I can't believe this guy is excusing the way that Israel has conducted war on the people of Gaza. Irish people are not against people of Israel, but the government. Gavin says the Israeli president was on Channel 4 and he said Israel built the tunnels underneath Gaza in the 1980s. The presenter asked him to repeat the statement and did not, and she did hear correctly. He confirmed it. Nonsense to say Irish aid went to Hamas to build the tunnels. This is just one ridiculous statement, your guest said. I'm not Irish, I'm not Jewish, but I have a Jewish family name, says his texter. Only in my 60s, I've always felt a connection to the Israeli state, who have been under attack since the 40s by old states of the Ottoman Empire. The Irish government doesn't speak for me. Another texter says, Sean, every world leader has not said that Israel's response is out of proportion. Certainly not. No, they've kind of used roundabout language to kind of to be careful about and that kind of, but certainly you're right, no one as far as I know has said it explicitly. The man is deluded by Israeli propaganda. Every human rights organization has condemned Israel. Why are they banning journalists? Irish man living in Israel, how offensive to assume that we Irish are ignorant about what's going on in Israel and Palestine. It is possible to hold two thoughts, to be absolutely appalled by what Hamas did to Israel and by what is visited on its own people, but to be extremely appalled not only by the excessive Israeli response against tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians, but also by the creation of the effective open prison created by Israel of Gaza and the left bank for decades. Some of that read international newspapers, sir, and I've followed the details of this for many years. Those comments go on and on.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.